Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for bringing us together around your word. We pray that this message would be well received and understood by each of us, that you just help us to put our faith in it and to put it into action in our lives. We just thank you, Father, and pray all of these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So we were on, we'd gotten through the objects of false security and how anything that we have a sense of security in outside of God's word and Jesus Christ and God our Father is an idol. Not just something that we worship, but something that we derive that sense of security from. And now we're moving on to faith and the focus of our faith. Because faith has a focus. So we have seen that the Lord has told us to ask and we will receive, to seek and we will find, to knock and it will be opened to us. When we see these things, we notice that they're all actions of faith. But these actions are in the present active participle. Now, a participle, those are words in English that end in ing. They are actions that are ongoing. So when we read that we are to seek, we are to be seeking. When we read that we are to be to knock, we are to be knocking. Oh, when we read we are to be, that we are to ask, it is asking. So asking, seeking, and knocking. This is an ongoing process. This is not just passive faith. We are to keep on asking, and we will be receiving. We are to keep on seeking, and we will be finding. We are to keep on knocking, and the door will be open to us. It's an active faith. And we'll also note that these are in the imperative mood, and the imperative mood is the mood of command. And anything that we're commanded to do in the Bible means that we're capable of doing these things, and that we're required to by God to do them. Now, Christ commands us to this action of faith. And the present imperative tells us that we're to be doing this actively and continually. Faith is to be the continuing mental and spiritual dynamic of the believer and the continual manner in which we are living our lives. Now, at this point, we need to interject four major ideas of activity in the soul: thinking, feeling, choosing, and believing. Although thinking and choosing are involved in this matter of believing, believing goes beyond that to an entrusting of oneself in all areas to Christ, and then acting upon that faith. Passive faith, again, comes in when there's nothing that one can do about their situation. We've done everything we can do, and now the recourse is strictly to trust God and His provision. Even though faith has both its subjective and objective sense, we're studying the subjective side of faith in this study specifically, as we're trying to understand the nature of true faith. But faith still has to have an object that we put our faith in or that we believe upon. Therefore, to develop and strengthen our faith, we must not turn our attention to our faith, but rather to the object of our faith. And what is to be the object of our faith? God the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word of God. And of course, the Word of God would include all of His promises. There's hundreds throughout the Bible. And the Father and the Son and the promises that they've given us are always to be the object of our faith. In Proverbs 3:5, it says, we're, the subject, to trust, the verb, in the Lord, which is the object. So we're to trust the Lord with all of our hearts. That's a state of pure faith. And we, the subject, are not to lean, another verb, on our own understanding. Our own understanding being the alternate object. And here we see that faith, what faith is really about. We have that contrast of Jesus versus all else. And in this specific case, it's our understanding. It could be anything that we're leaning on, relying on, or depending on, but here, our own understanding, that's our own intellectual ability to think about or reason out our way through a problem. And we're to turn away from that idea and to put our total dependency upon the Lord. I know for me, like, I work for Spectrum. I am in direct sales. And if you don't know that buzzword, that means door-to-door sales. And, you know, I've been in sales since the year 2000. And I can't do my job without faith. I might have had all kinds of training in the various sales organizations that I've worked for. They've told me and taught me all the different sales techniques to use. And when I rely on those, I fail and I fail and I fail time and time again. I know what to do. I do those things in all of the training that I've received. But if that's what I'm relying on, I will fail every single time. It's only when I let go of all of that and I throw all of my being into trusting God to drive me, to guide me to the right doors at the right time, that He provides. He just opens the floodgates of what He has in store for me, for our family. And you know, I'm definitely not perfect at it, because I will have months where I haven't sold much, and then I take stock in what's going on and I realize that I thought for a second that I knew what I was doing. And lo and behold, I have very, very, very little sales that month. Now, other months, you know, I'm listening to Bible doctrine in between doors. I'm focusing on the Lord. I'm praying for and lifting up you all in prayer throughout the day. And God just shows up and He does it. And pastors talked about that instance with the car that he had that he could not get working. He tried everything. He tinkered, he fixed, he thought he would have it, and nothing, until finally he threw his hands up in disgust somebody called
Lloyd,
a mechanic that happened to know what the heck he's doing. And next thing you know, the thing's running in the garage there. And he was absolutely beside himself because he thought he had tried everything. Come to find out, it was something really simple, a distributor cap or the...
It was the coil.
Yeah, it was something simple that, you know, he didn't know any better. Didn't know to try that. And so...
Fixed
in 5 minutes. Super cheap little piece. And, you know, he could have dumped hundreds of dollars into this vehicle trying to fix it himself. But it was just this cheap little coil. Guy put it in there, got it running. He could have, any of us could take those situations in our lives and give those to God and not be trying to do it in our own works. And God will show up. He will take care of it. Maybe not. I mean, there's always a time factor involved, obviously. But that's the amazing thing, is that God has promised to take care of us. You know, that the whole concept of asking, seeking, and knocking. And pastors taught on this before, that there's always a timeline involved. And if we're asking, we will be receiving. Seeking, finding, knocking, doors will be open. But how often are we actually doing that? Because with it being the factor that it is, that he's promised that when we ask, we will receive. Now, there's this time factor involved. But that whole concept of keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, it's not supposed to be intermittent. It should be continual. And we'll get into that here in a little bit, but this makes so much more sense when we look into the receiving, the finding, and the doors being open. So as always, the Lord is to be the total focus of the believer in his faith. He looks to the Lord's wisdom, the Lord's power, the Lord's grace, and the Lord's plan, the Lord's leadership, and the Lord's protection, and so on. And the best way to stop hanging on to other people or things that one has put their security in, so that you can fully trust in the Lord, it's not to focus on not focusing on this, but rather to take your attention and direct it in another direction, to actually focus on God's Word. We need to be thinking about the promises, the things that God has guaranteed to us, and derive our security from those things. The Word, His Son, looking to the Father, His grace, provisions, trusting in Him, letting go of the things, of other things in the process. And Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says it well. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher or perfecter of our faith. Now, trusting in the Lord with all our heart means exactly that. And it is a command. We're to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. That was Proverbs 3:5. In all our ways we're to acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths. That trusting is a participial form again. So that's an active, ongoing act. We're to trust him with all our heart. We're not to be leaning on or relying on anyone or anything else. Confession of sin, going over Bible promises, prayer are all things that can help us to do this. And often pressures, sufferings, trials, and discipline motivate us to do it. As Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 17:5, "Cursed is the one who trusts in man," or the flesh, "who depends upon flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." We're so prone to trust in other things in our hearts, our money, or ourselves, other people, the government, job security, and so many other things that give us security, or so we think. And Israel had this very same problem. In fact, most of their existence, except for a relatively few number of people, had this problem. And that's why they carried their idols around with them, in their homes, in their tents. They were afraid. They were insecure. And they thought that these idols could help them. And remember, an idol was not merely an object of worship, but also an object of security. And that's what so many of us do today with our idols. We have our idols today, not little figurines, but other things. Trusting in the Lord means to stop trusting in those things entirely and really trust in him. We have faith versus rationalism. In Proverbs 3:5 that we just looked at, the word for trust in the Lord, it's the cal participle of batak. Now this has, first of all, the idea of laying down on the ground, all stretched out, relaxed, and free of any concern or worry. I always think of, you know, a beautiful meadow, that beautiful, plush, fuzzy grass, just laying there in the basking in the sun, completely unconcerned with the rest of the world. Or maybe you prefer lying on the beach, on your towel, soaking the sun in, knowing that if you get a little warm, you can just jump in the water real quick. Just that sense of contentment that you have in that moment. And it tells us how we're to put our cares and problems on the Lord, our whole life, and the secure feeling that comes from it. And we're to do this with all of our hearts, not just have part of the heart leaning on something else and part of it leaning on God, like I gave you that visual imagery earlier. We're supposed to have all of our hearts on Jesus Christ. The word for lean is shagan. And it has the idea of someone leaning on a spear or against a wall or leaning on a friend for help or support. So often we lean on others for help, if for nothing else, as an emotional security blanket. And here, what the person is leaning on instead of fully trusting in the Lord is his own understanding. The Hebrew word is binathika, or bina. That's the root. And it speaks of one's mental ability, their ability to think their way through the problem, to handle the problem with the mind, or to come up with a solution by thinking about it. Now, this often leads to a lot of worry, because if you remember, pastors taught on the concept of thinking without faith equates to worry, because how do we figure this out. Oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. And you know, we get to thinking about scenarios, or we get to thinking about the problems that we're dealing with in life. And when we're thinking about those things and we're not giving them over to God, that generates the, it fires up the generator of worry inside of us.
It's sin.
And it is. It is sin. As in distinction to simply putting the matter into the Lord's hands and trusting Him, in all your ways, in all your activities, the paths that you take in life, the decisions that you make, the things that you do, were to acknowledge Him. Get to know Him by prayer, faith, Bible doctrine, and He will make your paths straight. The paths that we take in life, that speaks of the path to the next grace objective that God has for us in our lives. Living the life of faith straightens out those paths. Instead of wandering around aimlessly, confused, disoriented, under the control of our sin nature, out in the world system, under the control and doing the will of the devil, we are to lean back. Here is Pastor Mike's expanded translation. Lean back and trust Yahweh with all your heart, and do not lean on your own reasoning abilities, or any other thing for that matter. In all your activities, know the Lord, and He will make your journey straight to the next grace objective. As before, faith has in it the idea of believing something to be true, relying on it, and acting upon it. Believing, relying, or trusting, and acting. And trust has the idea of turning from something or someone that you've had your confidence in and turning solely to the Lord God and His Word, with all emphasis being on God and His Word and our Lord Jesus. Now we'll look at faith in the sense of the positive mental attitude. The thought life is very important in this matter of faith. The believer needs to keep a positive mental attitude as he goes through each day. Negative thoughts and emotions are so destructive to the life of faith and peace that God wants us to have. The Apostle Paul addressed the believer's thought life in Philippians 4:8. And it reads, whatsoever things are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, think on such things. In churchianity nowadays, you hear people say, have an attitude of gratitude. That would fall into this category. We're to be focusing in things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely. Like, obviously, God's Word falls into that category. But there's other things in our life that we encounter that are true, that are beautiful. You know, you'll have a night where the clouds have parted, and you look up and you see the glory of the heavens that God has made. That's just beautiful. It's excellent. It's praiseworthy. And a big part of maintaining that positive mental attitude is to, as I mentioned earlier, talking about pastor and that need for the subjective sense of hope. Because again, hope has two factors. You have the objective sense and the subjective sense. The objective sense is all of the promises, all of the things God has said that he will do. Those things are true whether we feel it or not. He is going to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's a promise. He will do that, even if we don't subjectively feel it at the moment. Now, it's hard when we're discouraged, when we're sick, when we're going through the ringer in testings or trials. It's hard to have this sense that things are going to be better. But what do we do to get that back in that moment? We've got to refocus our mind off of the trials, the tribulations, the sickness, the difficulties, and back on God's word. Back on those promises. As pastors taught on, grab a rock, whatever rock that is, and focus on that promise. Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." When you're down in the dumps, that's something great to grab a hold of. Romans 8:28 pulled me out of a really dark place. "For we know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." When all things seemed like they were going awry, going absolute opposite of how I wanted them to go in life, and I was out of my mind with it. Meditating on that verse, breaking it down in my mind and in my heart, realizing that God causes all things, even the things that I was going through at that time that were unpleasant, he's causing that to work out for my good. Because I know that I'm saved. I know I've been called according to his purpose. I know I love God. So I'm in that category. So that is a guarantee that he's going to cause all of the things in my life to work out for my good. All of the things in my past, unpleasantness that I've gone through as a child, he's working that out for my good. And the way God works on so many facets and so many levels, you know, the 1,000-dimensional chess game that he is mapping out for all of our lives, those ripples of what I've been through isn't just for my own benefit, but for the benefit of others. Like, what I went through is benefiting you all today, because now I have a frame of reference. I have experiences that I can share with you, and you can benefit from the stuff that I went through when I was a kid. That's amazing to me. And the fact that even if it was something that I screwed up, guess what? He causes all things to work out for my good, for your good. We can't lose for winning. So what did I do in that moment when it was so dark? I looked at that and I said, wow, God, in his infinite wisdom and will, either caused or allowed certain things to happen to me in my life. Things I didn't like, didn't understand, and things that will happen in my life and may not understand. But I know, based on that promise, that he's going to turn that around for good. He's going to make me more like Jesus Christ. And if that's the case, if he's doing this for my benefit, Why am I so upset about it? The things that I'm going through or that I've been through, they're for my good, for your good, for the good of God's kingdom. And if that's the case, then I have no business being upset with God over it, because He knows what He's doing. I just have to trust Him. It's so easy to have negative thoughts creep into our minds, either from ourselves, members of our own family, coworkers, friends, school, TV, the government, so on. Thoughts of fear, thoughts of doubt, pessimism, always looking to why something can't work instead of the possibilities, always looking to the hopelessness of the situation instead of the solutions. It's a negative frame of mind based upon unbelief instead of the positive frame of mind based on faith. We have to learn to watch over our thought life, to keep those negative thoughts and doubts and fears from coming in, creeping in, being whispered to us by the devil. And if they're there, it's up to us to get rid of them and to be on guard for those who always seem to take the negative, doubting, pessimistic view of life, who are always ready to express that to you. This is not a condemnation of anybody. It's hard to have a positive mental attitude. But with a mind of faith, when one is bombarded continuously with negative, anti-faith, anti-truth, anti-God thinking from virtually every direction in society, it's hard. And it's made even more difficult when we continually get it from spouses, from friends, or especially from other Christians. So in this matter of faith, we must begin with our own thought life, to be aware of the fact that by entertaining negativity, by entertaining those doubts and thoughts, that we're undermining the mental attitude of faith, that positive dynamic. And then we need to apply ourselves to having a thought life of faith, keeping the negative thoughts out and belief out. We should be taking every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 10:5. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. We'll finish on this here. We're to stop worrying about even one thing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, we are to make our requests known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness, for Your absolute and perfect nature, and all of the promises that You've provided to us to help us through the times that we find ourselves. We pray that You would bless this message to us, help us to recognize how to implement these things that we've learned into our lives, and to go on in faith down the path that You have marked out for us to the next grace and faith objectives. We just thank You, and we pray all of these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.